10 years of OK Radio repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Sterling on Sunday. My gosh, I have a neighbor who's a vegetarian who's threatening to sue me for cooking barbecue meat in my backyard. And now, Dr. Dave.
On Walter Sterling does his nightly show. The misfits all turn on the radio. He'll complain and blame with words that bite, and he does it every damn night. When Walter Sterling does his mighty show.
Are you ready? Turn it up loud. Let's hear it. Let's hear this.
When you're alone and life is making you know
coast to coast.
Don't listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights are much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. Go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. No finer place, I'm sure. Downtown. Everything's waiting.
Gosh, I hope you do your work with this passion. Listen to her. That's a song.
To go where they never close. Listen to the rhythm of the gentle bossa nova. You'll be dancing with them too before the night is over. Happy again. The lights are much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles.
Whistle with her or play the kazoo. It's a genius story. Screws up,
see you
just
then.
Keeps
you
going.
Can't forget, that's what you do. Forget all our cares. Go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. Downtown. Everything's waiting for you.
Yes, I agree. We should just keep going.
First you get down on your knees, fiddle with your rosaries, bow your head with great respect, and genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. Make do whatever steps you want if you have cleared them with the pontiff. Everybody say his own Kyrie eleison, doing the Vatican rag. Get in line in that processional. Step into that small confessional. There, the guy who's got religion will tell you if your sin's original. If it is, try playing it safer. Drink the wine and chew the wafer.
I think you're emotionally cheating.
2, 4, 6, 8. Time to transubstantiate. So get down upon your knees. Fiddle with your rosaries. Bow your head with great respect and genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. Make a cross on your abdomen when in Rome, do like a Roman. Ave Maria, gee, it's good to see ya. Getting ecstatic and sort of dramatic and doing the Vatican rag.
My advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Sunday night across America, and that means it's kazoo time. Believe it or not, this was written by the man originally pegged to play James Bond in the movies. Hoagie Carmichael. Are you ready? You're ready to hit the vocal? Ready? Two, three, four, go. Real district. A real district. That's enough of that. Good evening, Walter M. Sterling, live, coast to coast. It's not the gold show, the Bitcoin show. It's the retirement and you show, America's greatest storytellers. None of it. It's just us. In the 18-wheeler, the 4-wheeler, driving across I-4, I-5, the 101, 80, good luck with that, 70, up 95 and up yours for those tolls. How dare you keep charging tolls? How dare you keep charging tolls? The Garden State Parkway, when it was opened and the tolls were on it in New Jersey, the promise was the tolls would only be there for 1 year. If you go back and look at when the tolls went up on any interstate in America, any major highway in America, it came with a promise. Tagline, promise, tolls will be taken down in X period of time. Promised. And every one of those states lied. Nobody took down their tolls except Connecticut. I think that's called fraud. You keep collecting money against something that you said was going to happen. My hunch is that's fraud. And ladies and gentlemen, I will leave you with my permanent thought. It's going to go on my tombstone because it's never going to happen. Anybody running for office, governor, senator, congressman, what else is there? Oh, yeah, president, vice president, whatever it is. All they have to do in one of their planks of their platform is say, and I will do whatever I have to do in my power to get the tolls taken down. They will win. It almost doesn't matter if they actually achieve it. We're used to that. What matters is, do I feel good for the months before you get elected? I will vote for you if you make me feel good, because that's pretty much what we're down to, right? Like, nothing really changes, but sometimes we feel a lot better. I'll tell you, we're going to have fun tonight as soon as I figure out what we're going to do, coming up in just seconds. Oh, yeah, we're going to do that. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Now, join!
Are you a beaver? Because damn, you are good looking. Yep, very nice on the eyes.
Train. retired New York City police detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell the story of two former NYPD partners whose wives vanished without a trace. Robert Fioretti was a Bronx cop whose estranged wife Rita went missing in 1986. A few days after she went missing from her City Island home, Fioretti moves back into the house with his female partner from a Queens precinct. Investigators find this kind of unusual and want to question Fioretti. Fioretti stonewalls them and is suspended. While the investigation is continuing into his wife's disappearance, investigators find out that Fioretti forged his former wife's signature on two bank withdrawal slips before emptying out her accounts of over $17,000. If that's not bad enough, Fioretti's new wife had children, which were his stepchildren. He began molesting them. Investigators eventually put a case against Fioretti and charged him with bank fraud as well as child abuse. He was sentenced to approximately 15 years in jail. To date, Rita Fioretti's body has never been recovered. But the story is crazier than that. In 1968, Fioretti worked with a cop by the name of Mark Stahl. Mark Stahl's father was friends with former police commissioner Ben Ward. Mark Stahl could have worked anywhere in the department and had a charmed career. Instead, he had shady connections to the mob and was forced off the job in 1984. A few years later, Mark Stahl's wife vanishes from her New Jersey townhouse. When investigators start asking him questions, he says they got into an argument. She fired several rounds at him before fleeing in her car. Cops are suspicious of his story and want more answers. Stahl stonewalls them. What winds up happening is a firearm is recovered from a mob associate friend of Stahl's, and Stahl's children, who are now older, start filling in the details of what might have happened that night. Mark Stahl takes a plea bargain in 1992 to 15 years for manslaughter. The question begs to be asked, how do guys like this find each other? In 1968, two young cops are working together, and how does this come up where they start talking about, you know, if we ever get married and our wives give us a problem, how can we make them go bye-bye? It's reminiscent of the 1990s case of the mafia cops with Eppolito and Caracappa. Somehow, some way, bad apples just always seem to find each other. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Presumption and Dysfunction.
All right, look at this. It's 24 past the hour. 24 past the hour as we drive across the country, north and south, east and west, from WGAN in Maine. Phil Zachary running the Saga radio station in the state of Maine. Big, major, important radio station. Still trying to get over the fact that he took this show. Risking his reputation. But that's, if you're Phil Zachary, you have no risks because you're Phil Zachary. People know that you're the guy. All the way to KFBK in Sacramento, run by Bill White. Again, another situation where they know that that's the guy. Nobody messes with these people. Me? Oh, they can't wait to mess. Now, listen. I played the kazoo for you about a B plus. You're probably thinking, I could play the kazoo better than Walter if I had a kazoo. Problem solved. I will send you a kazoo for free. All you have to do is send me an email, and I will send you a kazoo for free. And then you and I can play together at the same time and bond in a sort of spiritual way. The way the Egyptians made sounds with the pyramids, and they bonded in a unique way that nobody understands to this day. And I will send you a free filthy card. What? What do you mean a filthy card? Yes. Filthy card. Check it out at filthycard.com. These are adult greeting cards. They're not pornography. They are adult greeting cards. Between toddler cards, which is what we see at CVS and Rite Aid and other, or senior citizen grandmother cards, there's nothing in the middle for us. There are no greeting cards for us. You ever go to a drugstore and look at the rack of cards and you want to get your buddy a birthday card or your buddy a Christmas card or a holiday card, and you're looking, you're like, I'm not 8 and I'm not 80. Where are the cards for you and me? They're at filthycard.com. I will send you a free filthycard.com and a free kazoo. That's it. You're not going to get follow-up emails or people annoying you. No, 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 no. We're not that organized. In order to do that kind of a direct mail stuff, you have to be organized and have people. Don't be ridiculous. Send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail, with your real address. And I will send you, or to your post office box, where your spouse doesn't know about. Wherever you want me to send it, I'll send it. I'll send you a kazoo, and I'll send you a filthy card for free. And then it'll take about a week. Just calm down. I'm getting all these people bugging me. It'll take about a week. And then we can bond. All right? I think that's a good deal.
One, two, three.
Sterling, every damn Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, I had the best week. Would you like to know about my week? See if you got even close to this. My wife went to a very different city, 400 miles away, for 10 days. She went for 10 days. And we're not stupid. We don't say things like, well, you know, if you're going to go away for 10 days, you got to call me every day. Are you crazy? I don't want to hear from any. I want to live under the illusion that I could invite strippers over. I want to live with the illusion that I could have high school fantasies because I don't have a wife. My house is empty. What a gift. And then I started thinking, well, this is really going well. I'm having a good time. My kids are fine. Two of the three daughters are home. Because our spring breaks are all staggered, it's 5 weeks of spring break. One, then the next one, then the next one. They don't have spring break at the same time. Therefore, my spring break is non-existent. It's extra care for 5 freaking weeks. But I'm thinking, I'm fine. I love my wife. We don't have any problems because I live my marriage on a need-to-know basis. That's where guys screw up. They think they're involved with their marriage. They're not involved with their marriage. Your wife and your sister-in-law, that's your marriage, buddy. You have no say. But I'm thinking, you know, if we got a divorce, I wouldn't be lonely because I'm an introvert. I wouldn't be lonely. I might feel guilt that I didn't do more to keep it together. But all these people all say, oh, I could never live alone. It'd be terrible to live alone. I'm like, no, I don't have those thoughts at all. In fact, I lust to be alone. That way I can watch episodic TV like Pawn Stars over and over and over again. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday. I have so much for you tonight. What do I have for you tonight?
This is Matthias Boehm-Bell. Coming up, my Hollywood report on movies, live on Sterling every damn night.
Boom, boom, Hollywood, Sterling every damn night.
It must be thrilling for you, Matthias Boom Boom Hollywood, a prominent, important film critic based in California, to be on Sterling every damn Sunday. And yet you're forced during the week to be on other radio stations where they speak much slower and they make obscure references and not popular references. This is a whole different world for you, isn't it, Matthias?
It is. But, you know, I think you need to keep alive and keep fresh and try new things. Otherwise, what's the point? And this show is so fabulously entertaining. Just tonight, I heard just a new bit of extensive vibrato in your kazonic phrasing. Kazonic, is it a word? I think it should be.
I have spent time with the conductor of a major city orchestra to improve my kazonic playing. He has helped me, and I'm glad you noticed that subtle improvement.
It was great.
And how have you spent your weekend in California, tanning?
No, I'm up in Northern California, away from the rains that hit L.A. today, because no one in L.A. knows how to drive in the rain. They panic. They slide into buildings. It's a calamity. I was up here for a wonderful event in the East Bay at the Oakland Paramount Theater, a very elegant old 3,000-seat movie palace. It was quite an affair. It was a lovely night. And I haven't left because the weather's been so nice here near San Francisco.
With the 3,000-seat theater, when they're not having a special fundraiser or an award ceremony or something, do they show movies in it? Is it open on a regular basis?
No, that particular theater, the Oakland Paramount Theater of the Arts, which, of course, was built as a movie theater in 1930, had been a movie theater almost all the way to the 70s. Then they turned it in. They saved it from being demolished by turning it into a theater of the arts. Became the home for the Oakland Symphony, and later they did a lot of things like touring shows. Nowadays, it's mostly R&B acts, comedy acts, touring shows. They used to show a classic movie series. I used to be part of it. I used to MC some of them. But they haven't done that because the movie attendance plummeted just before COVID, so they haven't done that in about 10 years. But they can show movies, but they don't.
Before COVID, and they were doing special showings of special movies, I'm always curious about this. What was the most attended movie? Do you remember of the special movies they showed? Which one drew the most attendance?
Well, every December they would run The Wizard of Oz, and it would sell out 3,000 seats. 3,000 seats because folks bring their kids. And it's fabulous to be in a giant, big old movie palace like that. And the Wurlitzer organ comes up out of the floor on the orchestra elevator.
Really?
And the stage elevator comes up, and there was a spinning wheel. I used to get prizes. We'd have a girl spinning the wheel, and I'd do a whole shtick. And then I'd introduce the picture, and then I'd sink back into the floor. The organ would sink back in the floor. The curtain would part, and the movie would start. Just like they used to do it in the old days.
How challenging was it to refurbish the mechanism to raise the organ?
Well, that's just a hydraulic lift that was installed in 1931 and was so well designed that it just needed regular maintenance by the IATSE guys, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, that the union guys that have been operating that stage since day one. So it was fairly well maintained the whole time, so it didn't need a complete refurbishing. It still worked perfectly, except I have, since you mentioned it, the organ lift is hydraulic, and there's this little eyelet that if you slip it open, all of the hydraulic fluid comes out. So I remember one day when the organist came up to play for a while, his name was Jim Riggs, and he's sitting there playing. There was a matinee audience, and all of a sudden, bam, he was gone. He went 13 feet down into the pit, fast as could be, and people just wondered, what happened? It was a very humorous moment, not for the stagehands, who then had all over the orchestra pit, there was just oil spread everywhere, and they had to bring in 50 pounds of kitty litter, which they spread all over the orchestra pit floor to absorb the hydraulic oil to get it out of there. It was a major ordeal.
And speaking of kitty litter and unusual usage, a tip from those of us who live in the snow belts and the ice, a bag of kitty litter in the back of your trunk is going to save you from being skidding all over the road if you get stuck. It is the fastest way to get unstuck when your car pulls over to the side of the road. But more importantly, Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood, do you have a movie suggestion for us?
Sure. There's a bit of a soap opera now out, set of the 1950s. It's called On Swift Horses. The movie plot does not move that swiftly. However, it is a intertwined story based on the book by Janet Befall, in which Muriel, who's played by Daisy Edgar Jones, and Lee, played by Will Poulter, start to get a new life together as a married couple. But suddenly the arrival of Lee's brother, a sailor, Julius, played by Jacob Elordi, a sort of a free-spirited opportunist and a compulsive gambler, kind of inspires new possibilities for Muriel. She's trying to think, maybe this gambling thing would be a way to put away some money for a rainy day. So she starts secretly betting on horses because she's working as a waitress, and she gleans inside information from some of the guys taking bets. And she does a nice little bit of cash raising for herself. But it doesn't stop there. She becomes interested in neighbor Sasha. Kahl is the actress. Her name is Sandra. And Sasha is a lesbian, or as my father used to like to say, intrepid women, intrepid women. And so there's, there was this intrepid woman that starts to intrigue her, and so they start having an affair. Now, Jacob Elordi's character is also similarly inclined in a different way. He starts to need money for gambling, so he starts sleeping with men in order to be able to do his gambling and do all sorts of stuff. And he ends up having a relationship. It's basically a huge soap opera, but it's well made. The acting is good, great photography and settings. You believe it's the 50s, and these five individuals combine with some degree of complexity. The director is Daniel Minahan, and there's some pretty good performances there. So that's On Swift Horses. By the way, there's only one horse in the picture, and it doesn't move very swiftly at all, sort of like the plot. But I think some folks will like this period.
Is there any nudity?
Well, there's some lesbian nudity, yes. Yes, there is. So there's that to look forward to for those who are intrigued and curious about that. It's all about curiosity.
If there's lesbian nudity, it will be a hit. What is the name of the movie again, Matthias?
It's called On Swift Horses.
On Swift Corsets?
Horses. Horses.
Horses.
Like a pony. Like a pony at the racetrack.
Got it. How do we find you on Facebook? How do we stay in touch with you?
It's Matthias Bombals Hollywood. That's MATIASBOMBAL. Hollywood, like the city. That's MATIASBOMBAL, Hollywood, like the city. Thanks, Walter.
No, thank you, Matthias. It's always great to have you on the show, and I'm not just saying that because it's the sort of thing hosts say. Midnight Misfits know that I actually would never say that if I didn't mostly believe it. All right, this is Autism Awareness Month, and I have a 13-year-old daughter who's a magnificent poison who happens to have autism. And what I've learned about being an autistic dad, being a dad of an autistic child, is the misperceptions are remarkable. And I'll share some of my stories with you in just seconds. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Now, join the lesbians in space.
Can't make any promises, okay? I can't even promise that I won't hurt you in the end.
Do you think I can?
Up until that point, I will rock your world if you let me.
Feel the dough, eat the dough, JB Bakery, Salida and Steve, Sterling every damn night.
Stephen the Baker is the envy of every other baker on the East Coast. Now, you've been in bakeries, and you know how it goes. If you're going into a privately owned bakery, there's the ticket machine, and you pull a ticket, and then somebody's grandmother cuts in front of you. There's ugliness. And the one item you want, the chocolate croissants, gone because somebody's grandmother cut in front of you. There's no cutting in front at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey, because Stephen is a real baker, and he won't allow it. And his manager, Selena, is up to be Miss New Jersey in the Miss America pageant. Now, just imagine, Miss New Jersey's on the other side of the counter. Do you think you're going to mess with somebody named Meadow Soprano? I mean, somebody on the other side of the counter? No, you're not going to do that. This is a very unique bakery. And that's why I have them on Sterling every damn Sunday, because when you and I think of a baker, you and I think of Chef Boyardee. Like, we have that image that that's what the baker looks like. And then to make sure that this is all kosher, I mean that all of this is legitimate, I have a Catholic priest, Father James Drucker. This is a very big week for Catholic priests. There's elections coming up. It's Holy Week. A lot of pressure. Well, I did my one good deed in life. Father James Drucker, a real Catholic priest, had Easter dinner at Stephen the Baker's home with Stephen's mother and his girlfriend. It's exhausting, the connections that have been made here. And most importantly, how is the Miss America process coming along? Are you going to be Miss New Jersey, Selena?
Walter, I'm hoping that I'll be Miss New Jersey, and I'm sure that, you know, the radio experience is definitely going to help, and I can't wait to have a show on here where I can announce that I've officially won the title. I actually just got back from orientation yesterday, and I got to meet all the girls, and we did a fundraiser at Dave & Buster's, and everything went really well. It's a lot of information. I'm just trying to stay on top of everything.
When you met the other girls, could you see the daggers in their eyes when they realized that you were incredibly beautiful, skilled, and articulate compared to them?
Well, all of them are very talented, and honestly, I tried not to think about it like that because I think if I start trying to look for that, I might find it, but everyone was really nice, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of it this year.
Is there a special Catholic Church blessing, Father Drucker, for people in pageants? Is there a special blessing for her?
I can give a blessing to Selena anytime. She's a lovely lady. She's like a goddess. She's really very beautiful. And Steve the Baker's a very wonderful man, and he's very blessed. And as you said, I enjoyed the family and dinner. And what can I say? She's going to be Miss New Jersey, hands down, or prayers up.
Now, when you just called her a goddess, are you guilty of the venial sin of worshiping a false god?
No, I would say goddess in respect to Selena, small g, as we say in the priest business, a small g goddess.
Selena, where is the Miss America pageant held? Where is it held now?
So it's held at Resorts Casino Hotel in Atlantic City, which I believe is where it's always been.
Yeah, I think one year they made the mistake of having it in Florida, which I never understood.
Oh, terrible.
And then it was terrible, right? Then they brought it back to New Jersey, where God, with a small g, meant it to be. Because we're all starving for carbohydrates, Stephen the Baker, do you have a recipe this week? It's okay if you don't. Do you have a recipe for us this week?
I do have a recipe. Today is actually National Devil Dog Day, so I like the idea of having whoopie pies as a bake-at-home recipe to honor National Devil Dog Day. You know, it's that chocolate sandwich treat, the chocolate cakes with the buttercream icing inside where you kind of like run your finger through the icing and eat the icing first. So how about that recipe?
You're providing us with a devil dog recipe. That is a very generous baker. Now, right now, I can send to you a devil dog recipe that's brand new tonight. I can send you my favorite recipe, which is the JB Bakery chocolate chip recipe. By far, this stunned me. It is the pineapple upside down cake and the babka, bread babka recipes that have been by far the most popular. I would have figured it would have been the key lime pies or the chocolate chip cookies, but I find that fascinating market research. Steve the Baker shares his recipes with us. No other baker does this. And most importantly, they're beautifully done. He makes these recipes nicely on a single page with photos of the finished product, which is really important, and photos of Steve and Selena. Now, Selena, when you were rehearsing and doing orientation for the Miss America pageant to be up for the Miss New Jersey competition, was there anything that they brought up that surprised and shocked you that you don't think you're going to be able to meet up? You're not going to be able to level up and do it?
I don't think so, Walter. The hardest thing for me at orientation was just keeping track of everything. I don't even think that they really knew some of the things as far as production. Everyone's trying to figure out what's going to happen that week and just make sure that I pack everything correctly. But as long as I bring everything that I need there, I'm sure that I'm going to do my best and I'll be able to meet the demand.
Selena, packing correctly, do they actually inspect your suitcases to see if you pass the packing challenge?
I don't think they're going to check our suitcases, but I would hope that I packed all the right shoes and everything so that I can have what I need.
And how is your room? Did they pay for the room or did you have to pay for the room?
Well, there is a fee that when you sign up, so I did pay that, but it does include my room, and I'm going to be rooming with one of the other girls, and I do have my own bathroom, which is really nice. I'm very grateful for that.
Well, that means you're way up the food chain. Now, Father Drucker, when a priest stays in a rectory, when you're in a rectory that's part of a church, do you have to pay rent?
No, that's part of being a priest. They most parishes will offer food, some don't. I lived at one rectory. I have to tell you something very beautiful with Monsignor Sakelic at St. Mary in Wilkes-Barre. And upstairs, as you went upstairs to the cloistered, it said house for unwed fathers.
Yeah, no baby daddies there. That's fun. Now,
anyway,
Father Drucker, do you feel that it's sort of a pagan ritual to have a beauty pageant, or do you feel it's sanctioned by the church?
No, absolutely. Now, anything that is in beauty and it's God's beauty in the form of a woman as a man, and it's very absolutely wonderful thing to do, and certainly sanctioned by the church wonderfully.
And for Holy Week, do you have a parting message you'd like to share with the Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn Sunday?
Well, in our Eastern Catholic Church, we sing Christos vos Cressa, so Christ is risen.
Oh, wait. Oh, God bless you. Walter M. Sterling every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
All right, it's incredible how much my life has improved ever since I got custom orthotics. And now, Dr. Dave Weather.
A great opportunity. Go into business. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a radio whiz who proved a little too big for the room in the radio biz. His head overflowed with brilliant ideas to make radio great, but his bosses were all idiots and all they could do is hate. This wizard set off on his own, on his epic quest, to make his show the greatest, better than all the rest, better than all the rest.
And now he's back on the radio with his merry crew,
with Velo, Detective Vic, Thea Landon and her smutty books, the Gaffneys, Dave Scott, Florida Stories and all the rest, here on Sterling every damn night. Here on Sterling every damn night.
I had this very strange wave of gratitude that hit me during the news. If you heard news. Did you hear news? I don't know what you hear. What kind of news do you hear? Do you hear CBS News? If you heard CBS News, you heard Cooper Lawrence. I did a show with Cooper Lawrence once. We were filling in for somebody. I was filling in for somebody. It was her show with somebody. And she was vaguely annoyed the whole time I was there. She liked her co-anchor. Her co-anchor is very professional, has very expensive suits, hair slicked back. I think I showed up 15 minutes late compared to when he showed up. Mind you, bulletin, no one told me when to show up. I figure showing up 3 hours before the show, probably that's enough. She was vaguely annoyed, but I could hear how good Cooper Lawrence is while I was co-hosting with her in the wackiest studio setup I've ever seen. And I'm just listening to her do the CBS News now. And she was fantastic. The first time she did the CBS News, she was a little nervous, as anybody would be, because it's called CBS News. And you're not Matt Piper. I'm Matt Piper, CBS News. I've learned that since I don't have a big voice, that if I sort of whisper, it gives me an aura of authority and professionalism. You're fine, Matt. Listen. But Cooper, I'm listening this time, and she's really good. Like, I wish she was on every week when I was doing Sterling every damn night. I hope to gosh they give her a great time period every night. She should be doing like 3 to 7 p.m. She should be doing those casts because nobody should have to get up early. And that's like the perfect time to be on the radio, 3 to 7 p.m. unless you're like me and I prefer to be on the radio now, like right now. But Cooper Lawrence is great. But then I'm thinking I have Alex Castell. And he's the sound engineer for this show. He's great. He's fantastic. And as he was getting really good at it, I get a note from the production director for Sterling Every Damn Night and from Frank, who says, Alex got another job. I'm like, what do you mean Alex got another job? This is the job he's supposed to have. Yeah, he got another job. He's doing video something. Nobody cares about video. What do you mean, AV? Like running projectors in hotels for conferences? No, this is what you're supposed to do. This is live radio. Live radio is the most powerful and proven medium in America. There's nothing more proven. It's been around over 110 years. Many of the radio stations that carry Sterling every damn Sunday were the first radio stations on the air in America. I hate it when I hear idiots say, well, you know, it's old-fashioned media, old-fashioned media. Really? The reason it gets to be old-fashioned is that it works. That's why radio is, quote, quote, old-fashioned, because it works. The bulk of revenue to a radio station, to this radio station, comes from local retail stores, local retail businesses. Now, if you've had a family member, if you've owned a retail business, you know that you only care about one thing. Feet in the door the next day. Do you see foot traffic the next day? If you do, that's a successful advertising campaign. I'll buy again next week. That is the hardcore measure of radio. Forget about Nielsen. Oh, my God. Hey, thanks for that 1958 TV technology. This is about radio generating foot traffic for retail businesses. And the reason it's so successful as a medium is we generate foot traffic for retail businesses. The other thing that radio does, no medium raises more money for charities in the community than radio. Not even close. At any given time, up and down the dial, you'll hear a radio station raising money for some worthwhile charity. We do this all year. Our biggest stars, the big morning men, they're raising money for charities all year. I don't see the TV stations doing that. I never see a TV station's anchor step out of their role and say, hey, you got to help out this family that was just burned out of their house. Let's raise money for them. I've never seen a TV station do that. Never. Not since Jerry Lewis died. I've never seen a TV station try to raise money. And I bet newspapers do, but I never have seen it. And I'm damn sure direct mail doesn't do it. How many times do I need a discount to get a new garage door? To get my driveway resurfaced? I don't need any more of that from direct mail. Wouldn't it be great if all those direct mailers that clutter our front door and our mailbox, in there was information about how to raise money for a needy family in the community? That isn't going to happen. Radio does it. We do it. We do it well. And it works on radio because you and I are just alone in the car right now. You're 14 inches from that speaker. I'm 14 inches from this microphone. This is a remarkable medium. I love being on the radio. And I know you sort of like almost listen to it because we're live. Nothing else is live right now. It's an embarrassment. What did I want to share with you? I have a 13-year-old autistic daughter, and this is Autism Awareness Month. To become aware of the condition, it is not a disease. Let me break down some myths about autism, and then we'll discuss it at greater length in just seconds. I have a phone number. You ready? 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I am happy to discuss anything you want to discuss. One of the things I've learned about this show is that most talk shows that take phone calls, they'll stick with the same subject for hours. And that's because their primary audience is immobile. They need an aide to get up and change the station, but you don't. And therefore, I can change the topics regularly, and I try to regularly, because that's what we would do in the mall. If you and I were meeting in the mall and having lunch in the mall, we would talk about a variety of things. The biggest myth about autism is that it's a disease. It is not a disease. It is a condition. It is a syndrome, but it is not a disease. It doesn't have a beginning, middle, and end. It doesn't have a cause, and it doesn't have a cure. That takes it off the disease list. It's a condition. Probably genetic. They're pretty sure about that, but there's a lot of work to be done. There's a reference about the spectrum. People with autism fall somewhere on the spectrum of the syndrome. There are people who sit on the floor people with autism sit on the floor and stare at the wall for 12 hours a day and rock back and forth, and they cannot speak. And they cannot ask for what they need. They cannot express their feelings. And then at the other end of the spectrum are people like my daughter, who's the happiest person you've ever met in your life and very smart. She isn't really happy because she's dumb. She's really happy because she's smart. And I'll leave you with this one thing that she said to me. I will never forget it. And I will never forget how remarkable her autism brain is. We were about to go outside and it was raining. And I said, oh, geez, Samantha, I can't believe it's raining. I hate the rain. Daddy, I love the rain. Why? Oh, Daddy, because it smells like devils and angels. I'll tell you more about Samantha and her autism coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling every damn Sunday. Extra, extra, extra. Hear
all about it, strippers on the loose. Perhaps the deal of a lifetime. According to realtor Tamia Carter, you could own a strip club in the wonderful city of Detroit. The pictures online are awesome. This is a beautiful place. It comes with a liquor license and a parking lot. Win-win in beautiful Detroit. The price? Reasonable. $1.1 million or best offer. There is no word in the listing whether this wonderful strip club comes with, well, shall we say, a silent partner from the Detroit Partnership. If you don't know what the Detroit Partnership is, it is the mafia of Detroit. We don't have a name like Bonanno or Del Vacante or something cool like that, Gambino. No, no, no. They call themselves a business name, the Detroit Partnership. But they are up to the same type of shenanigans that every mob organization is up to. That's according to the FBI, and I've learned you better believe them. This exotic dancing emporium has several stages. It has several dancing bowls. It's awesome. And being an entrepreneur in 2025 in Donald Trump's America is the way to go. Now, my guess is because it's in the city of Detroit, you're looking for some gals that can jiggle, and jiggle their caboose they will. You want some twerking gals. Twerking. Imagine the NBA players, the players from the NFL, even hockey players and baseball players hanging out with you. And you can call this club whatever you want. Maybe the Detroit Partnership. From the Champagne Room, it's Strippers on the Loose. I'm Vila Hool. Sterling every damn night.
Boom, boom, news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. I'm here every Sunday from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. West Coast, KFBK Sacramento. Yeah, we're on the number one radio station in Sacramento. Do you know why it's the number one radio station in Sacramento? Because it's programmed by Bill White, a real program director. In Albany, it's programmed by Paul Vandenberg. Paul Vandenberg is also the morning man. Famous and feared in Albany, and a good guy. What a good guy he is. We're very blessed to have Sterling every damn Sunday on good guy radio stations. Not those good guys, but good guy radio station. Every single program director I've talked to, every manager, every market manager, really supportive and terrific, because they know that in the radio land, I fail the most important question. There's one question asked to determine the viability of a radio show in radio. An executive with a B-plus suit will look out over her desk, his desk, and say, really? That's interesting. Who else is doing it? Where else is it being done? That is the extent of their research in radio. do they say, you know, we should test it the way they test television shows? Pilot season, before they put a pilot on TV, they test it. How do they do that? Usually at Epcot, believe it or not. It's a great cross-section of America. People go, they sit in a nice auditorium, they get money, free food, ride tickets or something. They watch a pilot. They vote on how much they like the pilot. It's an Epcot research test. In radio, what sort of research do we do? We don't. I'm not kidding. We don't test new shows or new formats. We test songs. We try to figure out how many people will like a particular song. Good idea. I guess sometimes some talk shows test subjects. What do you want to talk about? I wouldn't trust those for one second. I would not trust that research for one second. The nature of the beast. But anyway, I have a beautiful daughter, a magnificent 13-year-old daughter, who has autism and apraxia. Apraxia is a severe speech delay. These are all on a spectrum. This is not a disease. It doesn't have a beginning, middle, and end. It's a condition, a syndrome. And everybody who has it is a little different. It's as simple to understand as everybody who's left-handed is a little different left-handed. There are lefties who can only do things with their left hand and nothing else. They have to write, read, pick up things, use a fork, all with their left hand. Then there are lefties who can do some things with their left hand, like me, and some things with their right hand. I bowl with my right hand. I write with my left hand. But I consider myself left-handed. Usually, if you write with one hand or the other, that's how they define if you're right or left-handed. But we're all a little different. A person with autism can be born with the condition that has them sitting in the corner all day, staring at the ceiling, staring at the wall, rocking back and forth, and nonverbal. With therapy, love, patience, many autistic kids who are nonverbal become verbal. My Samantha is, oh my God, is she verbal? My Samantha talks nonstop. But she didn't start talking till she was three. She didn't get out mama, dada till she was three. And we were patient and loved her as you would have. And now she never stops talking. In fact, the way she gets put to sleep at night is she says, ask me questions. And she wants her mom and I to ask her questions until we're exhausted. And we have to say, we're out of questions, Samantha. Please go to sleep. But she wants to answer the questions. She wants to be asked questions. But Samantha is in sixth grade and she reads at a kindergarten level. She writes at a lower than kindergarten level. But her math's pretty good. I'd say her math's probably fourth grade. And this is how it is with all autistics. They're stronger in some things, less strong in other things. And then they all seem to have a special secret superpower. Her superpower is she's savant-like with a calendar. You give her a date, she'll look it up on the calendar in July, August, whatever it is, and she'll know how far we have to go to get to that date. She'll know what comes before it and after it. She has that gift. The passage of time on a clock, she doesn't have that gift. She struggles determining when something's going to be today, but very good at figuring out when something's going to be months from now. That's her superpower. And what I've seen is every autistic has superpowers. And she's charming and funny. I said to her, you know, Samantha, I'm an old dad. I'm like a really old dad. And the first time I said that to her, till this day, she says, you are not an old dad. You are a new dad. Bless you, my child. We will keep you. She refers to me as a new dad, will not let me call myself an old dad. And I'm diabetic. She watches what I eat. Don't you eat that? Don't you eat that? Did you take your medicine? She watches me like a hawk. All right. You're my friend, Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
High fashion at an amazing price. Details later, the people of Walmart. Sterling, every damn night.
Hello, I'm Walter Sterling. A show is a show, as we all know. But there's one show on the radio that definitely does not blow. It's Sterling every damn night. Turn on the show on your radio. You'll laugh so hard you'll start to glow. They ought to pay him lots of dough. It's Sterling every damn night. Dom Giordano yaks and yaks and wastes the time of day. But Walter Sterling never talks unless he has something to say. So grab some Merlot and put on the show. It won't interfere with your workflow. It's number one in Buffalo. It's Sterling.
Recently, though, and camping is stupid. You go outside, and then you do all this work to make it feel like you're still inside. We brought a stove to the woods, and we have a better one at home. We're just trading in all our stuff for worse versions of it. Why?
What's going on with the Palestinians and Israelis right now?
Let me just tell you, if New Jersey were firing rockets into New York, we would wipe them out. I am so bored. We heard they were digging tunnels from New Jersey to New York. We would get rid of Jersey. So I don't want to hear anymore. Oh, we'll do a partial truce. The Palestinians, you cannot throw rockets and expect people not to defend themselves.
What about the civilian casualty rate?
Then don't put your damn things in private homes. I'm sorry. Don't you dare put weapon stashes in private homes and then we say get out. Of course, we're going to do it.
The response normally is where are the civilians supposed to go?
I don't care. They started it. You're all insane. They started it. What are you all saying? They started it. The Israelis did not throw their... For months this has been going on.
How do you resolve
it? What are you supposed to do?
How do you resolve it?
How do I know? Because I have been over there. That's how I know. And I wish the world would know. And BBC should be ashamed of themselves. And CNN should be ashamed of themselves. And everybody, stop it already.
Selena Gomez tweeted a pro-Gaza.
Oh, Selena Gomez. Oh, yeah, that college grad. Well, if Selena said that.
I think you're emotionally cheating.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
My advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now.
Several lawmakers are raising questions about a massive $1.7 billion EasyPass deal that a recent investigation revealed was awarded through a mostly closed-door process with virtually no public disclosure. The report found the New Jersey Turnpike Authority recently selected a company named TransCore LP to run EasyPass operations, despite its bid being hundreds of millions of dollars higher than any other bidder, and TransCore's alleged ties to the Chinese Communist Party. It comes as tolls on the turnpike have shot up more than 40% over the past few years and amid broader concerns about government transparency.
The state of New Jersey, the bastion of purity, had been bidding out new toll collection systems for the turnpike and the parkway. And usually when you have a big public thing, they put out the bidding for open bidding. Different contractors can try to get it, and then they award it to the cheapest one. Well, in New Jersey, the new toll collection system that they put out for bidding went to the most expensive one, a Chinese-based company, sort of, kind of, and the cheaper one is aware of it and is saying, wait, we've done business with you before. You like us. Why can't we do business now? There's a publication. It's going to be worth searching. You'll have a good time. It's called Tollway News. The fact that it exists is what's the most shocking fact to me. There's a publication, daily publication called Tollway News that covers the toll industry across the country. Every single toll highway subscribes to Tollway News. The point is they talk to each other. Every toll system talks to each other. They compare how they beat local hearings, how they make it look everything's fine. They celebrate when somebody decides to expand the highway by $100 million and they're going to have to collect the tolls forever. All the new technology, what it will cost, it's never going to end. Do you understand? The industry itself is a thriving, growing industry. And all of the commissions that control the tolls across the country, they actually have conventions. The people who run them speak to each other, and they have a daily publication that is worth searching just once to see it, because I'm haunted by it. I look at it every day. Tollway News, T-O-L-L. Sorry, I say it that way. Tollway News. They talk to each other. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Pesach.
You ready? Here we go. The promise of radio licenses fulfilled. Ready? Here we go.
Rid of it.
855-839-1210. That's my phone number. Happy to talk with you. In fact, it's the best thing about doing a show is that you and I get to talk. 855-839-1210. Just like we're sharing bourbon chicken at the mall. And yes, the eternal question, why is it that bourbon chicken is only available at the mall? I've been to Chinatown many times in many different cities. I have never seen bourbon chicken on the menu. I want to make this final offer to you. After this week, not going to happen. Ready? I will send you a kazoo. So you and I was going to say, so you and I can play with each other. No, so you and I can play the kazoo at the same time and have that spiritual connection that only music brings. That was good, Walter. That was pretty good. And I will send you a filthy card from filthycard.com. Filthycard.com, C-A-R-D, singular, filthycard.com. These are greeting cards that are funny and dirty and therefore adults. Unlike the ones we get at drugstores, which are for 8-year-olds and 80-year-olds and not for us. Finally, they're greeting cards for us, filthycard.com, filthycard.com. But I'll send you one so you can see what it is. And then the next time your friend has a birthday, an anniversary, a celebration at work, whatever it is, you can send them an appropriate for their age card. That's free. And the kazoo is free. What do I need? I need your home address. It's the only way I can send you a kazoo. I got a bunch of cards, bunch of emails from people saying, okay, please send me a kazoo. And then they don't send me their home address. They think somehow or another the kazoo is going to arrive by transporter beam to their email. Not yet. Soon, I hope so. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. That's my email. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I'll send you a kazoo and I'll send you a filthy card. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Your heart.
Walmart.
Sterling Shop.
Walmart.
Sterling Shop.
Walmart, your average store has great specials. In fact, one going on right now for chocolatey honey bunches of oats. They're delicious. For under $5 in your neighborhood, Walmart right now. But Walmart is so much more than that. They actually now have restored and used items, including fashion handbags. And a pre-owned Hermes handbag, Birkin 25B stamp Togo Black, ladies, it's in great shape, or they say good, but it should be great because the cost is over $38,000. Yes, at Walmart.com. A pre-owned Birkin handbag for $11,160. They only have one left. Better jump in and get that right now. Of course, they have wonderful restored cell phones, TVs, computers, all trusted by Walmart, and they all come with pretty good warranties. You can save a lot of money on your next cell phone when you go to Walmart. Some of them are unlocked, so you can take it to the cell phone provider of your choice, and you will have saved hundreds of dollars. Hundreds. That's what makes Walmart so great. When you go into Walmart, you expect high fashion. You also expect great value and cereal. Lots of cereal. I enjoyed, by the way, getting the other day some wonderful pickled herring. Put that on a Ritz. Rock and roll. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool. Sterling every damn night.
Public Shame Radio. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
I see that our friend Bailey Martin has posted on Facebook that she has a flat tire and she's waiting for AAA. Now, this happened a while ago, but in my experience in waiting for AAA, this could go on till breakfast. She was down someplace getting awards. I hope she got an award. And driving back to the Ohio Valley of West Virginia. You and I have no idea where the Ohio Valley is, but she's on Channel 7, Channel 7 in the Ohio Valley. She is my new favorite local TV anchor because she, every single media company has a fantasy. And the fantasy is they want their anchors to post on social media. They want them on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. They want them to post videos everywhere. There's a problem that most people have like one skill. Everybody I know on radio makes terrible podcasts. Terrible. Because what I'm trained to do, besides that, what I'm trained to do is change the kid's diaper, take out the trash. The car looks crappy. Did you make this mess in the car? That's what I'm trained to do. But in my professional life, what I'm trained to do is to make a nonstop show that runs for 2 or 3 hours. I share it with you, and then it's done. I do not think in terms of on demand. Podcasts are on demand, and they are no gravity time. There's no gravity for the time of day in a podcast. You listen to it when you want, and you play it back when you want, and it can be edited a lot before it gets posted. Now, this podcast is this show is available in a podcast on the Audacy app, AUDACY. It's the whole show. You can hear it tomorrow on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I think they take it down. But you can hear it on the Audacy app, AUDACY. And if you get up late, if you listen late, or if you don't want to stay up this late, or whatever it is, it's available to you on the Audacy app around the world, AUDACY. But I don't make a special podcast. I did that. I made 200 episodes. Nobody listened. Because I'm not a podcast guy. I'm not Joe Rogan. I don't think in terms of stop, start, on demand. It's a different skill. But Bailey Martin, she knows how to do a live newscast. She knows how to do a streaming show during the newscast, during the commercial breaks. She's on TV. They go to a commercial break. She looks at her iPhone and does a show for the stream that's completely different than the show on the set. She does it intuitively, naturally, authentically. Then all day she makes videos, she makes posts, podcasts of her putting on makeup, get ready with me to do a newscast, get ready with me to go do a live shot, get ready with me to go shopping, get ready with me to go to lunch. And each of them is different because the content is different. And she knows how to fashion the content for each platform. That's what the media companies today want. They want people with that remarkable skill who intuitively know how to do that. And there are people who know that. But Bailey Martin is the first one that I've seen who knows how to do it without angst. She loves doing it. I've never seen anybody who just eats up that camera no matter what platform it is. She loves it. So search her. B-A-Y-L-E-E. Bailey Martin. She's on Channel 7 in the Ohio Valley. I have no idea where that is. She tried to explain it to me. It made no sense. It's the Nexstar station, which is a very serious and important company, which owns News Nation, which at the moment is my favorite news network. God, that was exhausting to explain that. Anyway, Bailey, hey, I hope AAA has come. I hope you're safe. There's nothing more terrifying for me than to be on a southern road on a warm spring night, and I hear that tire going out, and that vroom, 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 over that graded pavement, and being very far from a Buc-ee's, or a Sheetz, or a Wawa. I know there isn't one around, but I can hear in the background, I hear the theme from Deliverance. I hear the theme from Deliverance speaking to me in the southern spring night. You know, if I was a real talk show host, I'd have the theme from Deliverance ready. But there's certain things that I don't do because it's just too obvious. You'd expect me to have the theme from Deliverance. It's a terrifying piece of music that will haunt you the rest of your life. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Good evening, I'm Walter M. Sterling, and you may not realize it, but as you get older, your feet get bigger. And now, weather.
I don't fit in, I'm a misfit, oh. First thing on my mind is to get rich, oh. I'm a misfit, that means I don't fit, nah, I don't fit in. I just bought a coupe, baby girl, get in. Lord, forgive me, I know I'm a sin tonight.
As you enter into the break room on the third shift, the late shift, the misfit shift, you put your cup into the microwave. And you turn it on for a minute and a half for coffee or tea. And where it stops on the wheel of microwave fate, on that carousel, where that cup stops, determines how your shift is going to go tonight. Let's wait. ASMR. Where is it? If it's in the back and you can't really see it, it's going to be a bad night. But if it was right up front with the handle facing us, great night. Beryl Kravitz, Midnight Misfit, sent a sterling snap of her microwave experience because it's true. That microwave determines your fate for the rest of the night. She sent me a picture of it, showed me how it looked for her. I'd like you to do the same. Take a picture of when you heat up your coffee cup, your teacup, take a picture of it, where it stopped, and send it to WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. The other great thing about WalterMSterling@gmail.com, you can ask for the recipe from JB Bakery. You can ask for a free kazoo, which will come with a filthy card, a filthy greeting card. You can see the filthy greeting cards at filthycard.com, but I'll send you one. I'll send you a card for free, all of this for free. I just need your real address. No one's going to follow up. Nobody's going to visit you. Nothing. None of that nonsense. You and I know that we have friends that have a tough time when they retire. maybe it was your parents or your grandparents, when they retired, they had a tough time. And there's the usual thought that people need the anxiety, the anger, the angst of going to work, of dealing with the daily problems of being in the workforce, opening the store, running the retail establishment, dealing as a consultant or as a doctor, all of those things. And I don't think that's it at all. I do not think that people get in trouble in retirement because they have, in fact, left the workforce. I don't think that's a problem at all. I think if somebody's been working for 30, 40, 50 years, they're damn sure that it's time to retire. And then they go home and then there are problems. They die quickly, health-related issues, all sorts of new anxieties and new stresses. And this is what I think it is. We have, in our culture, three homes. We have the home that we leave when we go to work. We have the home that is our workplace, home number two. What's home number three? Home number three is where we go after work to unwind. We go to a bar, a restaurant, bowling alley, tennis court. We go for a run, an art gallery. We have a hobby. We have a third home, and the purpose of the third home is to download, unwind, de-stress from the workday, from the second home. When we retire, we then have the home that we leave to go to work, but then we don't have any work to go to. And we may have a social club, bowling alley, tennis court, country club, golf course, or just hanging around. The third home. But all the ratios are now screwed up. When a person retires, there's no second home. There's just this big hole in the middle of the day. Yeah, I'm going to go meet some of my friends around 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to, you know, go play tennis. All right. But between waking up and going to play tennis, that is the source of stress. You and I don't know what to do in the second home all day when it is now the first home. When the first home becomes the second home all day, we have no experience. We've only dealt with the first home for, you know, a half hour in the morning, an hour at dinner, bed, that's it. We haven't spent 4 or 5 hours in the first home, which is the home. That's very different, because however you think you should load the dishwasher, that's not the right way. However you think you should take care of the plants, that is not the right way, because the person who's been home all day has very specific ideas on how to do that vacuum, on how to deal with the dishwasher. And you've never, the retiring person has never dealt with this before. This is a very new thing. They don't get to rest from work. They have to learn a new way to be home. A whole new set of procedures, operations on how to be at home. That is a new skill set. And that is the source of stress. The source of stress is not going to work. The source of stress is, what do you do 8 hours a day at home that you never have any experience with?
I cannot believe you, Phil! How could you?
What is happening? What did I do?
Are you serious? You are. You don't know. We've had this conversation 100 times. Yeah, no. I'm not doing this again. You tell me what you did.
Was it?
What? No, Phil. No. I'm going to get some air.
Claire!
No, don't follow me.
Happy Valentine's anniversary!
I got bad news for you.
What now?
From now on, I won't be doing any more dishes.
And why is that?
Trump made it illegal for men to compete in women's sports. I got bad news for you.
What now?
From now on, I won't be doing any more dishes.
And why is that?
Trump made it illegal for men to compete in women's sports.
Honey, it's really snowing outside. We should go out and shovel the walkway.
Okay. Yep.
Got we it. Should throw some salt down, too. That looks bad.
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We should really go to Home Depot. We need to get those mounts to hang these pictures up because I want to do another one.
Okay, yep.
You think we can go today?
Yep. We are going right now.
Okay, and then when we come get back,
yep.
We need to hang those.
Oh, yep.
Honey, the backyard is such a mess. Oh, and there's dog poop. We should really go out there and clean it up.
Okay, Jane. We will go clean up the dog poop.
Yeah.
We will go clean up the dog poop. All of we.
Yeah,
right here.
Hey, honey.
Yeah.
We should really take the garbage out.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
We should do that.
We should. Yep, I got it.
Honey?
Yeah.
The dog wants to come in. We should really clean him off. He's all muddy.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, we should. Got it. Nope. Sit. We are cleaning.
Live on the greatest radio stations in America, I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of this show is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Oh, thank you. Look how nice you are this week.
We're going to start fairly gentle and work our way up into maniacally psychotic. So for our first story, a woman who seems like she's well-intended, but kind of a space cadet, she has a weird hobby. It's butterflies.
Her front yard has butterfly-friendly plants and trees.
I have been known to bring them in, help them through their life cycle, and once they're adults and those wings are flapping, I let them fly.
Oh, what a sweet little hippie space cadet. Sounds like a pretty good neighbor. This is the Florida twist. The Homeowners Association does not like it.
Earlier this month, she received a letter of final notice from the Crown Point Property Owners Association. According to the letter, White could be fined $25 every day. We reached out to the Crown Point Property Owners Association, but have not heard back yet.
And they cite a rule that says you're not allowed to raise livestock other than dogs, cats, or other common household pets. She has some vines in her front yard. Who cares? Florida cares. All right, let's go a little worse than that. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to the Orlando International Airport, where here it is again. A man who is a normal, upstanding citizen in his own home state goes to Florida, alcohol is involved, and he turns into a monster.
At Orlando International Airport, police say Strong from Utah called a female passenger a vulgar name, and that's when the JetBlue employee told Strong he would not be allowed on the plane. When police arrived, they say Strong struggled with an officer who was trying to get him under control. When Strong continued to ignore police commands, an officer used pepper spray. They say he left his 8-year-old son behind, so in addition to battery charges and resisting arrest, officers also charged Strong with neglecting his child.
Can you just count up the stupidity here? First off, you never want to fight back against the officer if he's going to arrest you, whether or not you're at your home, in the middle of the street, on the side of the road, or in an airport, especially. That's the last place. They take these things pretty serious in an airport. You got yourself pepper sprayed? And you're going to do this in front of your kid? All right, let's do a little worse than that. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go down to St. Petersburg, Florida. This is just unfortunate. A 20-year-old woman was killed in a freak accident when she was hit by a falling palm tree while lying in a hammock at a park. Florida, the state where even if you want to go relax and have a nice little nap in a hammock, you could die from a falling tree. That is very Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to Crestview, Florida. It began with a traffic stop for an expired registration. A 40-year-old woman from McCalla, Alabama. Here it is again. A quick background check shows she was wanted in Walton County, Florida, for an outstanding warrant. The officer searched her. He found needles, meth, and heroin. Look, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. You're an adult. You can do what you want. I will recommend, though, that if you're running around with both meth and heroin with a needle in your purse, keep up your brake tags. And hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Okay, for our next Florida story, we go down to the Everglades. And what do we have here? Ooh, a murder mystery.
Hatzikorsian's decapitated head was found in the Florida Everglades, if nothing else. His only clue at the time, a plastic bag containing the head from a Waldbaum supermarket, a chain found only in the Northeast.
There is outsiders coming to Florida and doing horrific things, just lopping people's heads off. I'm skipping this one. We're going to end on the worst note possible. You don't believe me? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
We go down to Orlando again, where a man was shot and killed, ironically, at the Happy Place sports bar.
Now, today's shooting happened inside the Happy Place sports bar, and deputies say the same man who was shot here inside this bar this morning was a victim in a shooting back in July here.
Talk about brand loyalty. He had been in a shooting here already, and he wants to go back. How do you justify that? Don't your friends stop you? Maybe your sister or your mom says, you sure you want to go back to the Happy Place? Isn't that where you got shot? And what can he possibly say? Well, you know, they have a really good DJ. I really like their appetizers. They have these finger foods. I mean, what could possibly be his rationale? But Florida is not done with this story. Check out the fine print on the Happy Place sports bar.
Today, we asked the sheriff's office if they can shut the bar down. They said no, because homicides don't fall under their criteria for nuisance closures. The sheriff's office said qualifications for nuisance closures are prostitution, drug sales, felony drug possession, stolen property, and or gang activity over a period of time.
That is a strange nuisance ordinance. So let me get this straight. If your neighbor comes over and you sell him a bag of weed, your bar can be shut down. But if your neighbor comes over and you shoot him in the face, no problem. If your neighbor comes over and he's like, hey, is that my big screen TV that went missing on your wall? Your bar can be shut down, stolen property. But if you take it and you put him in your guillotine in the back room and lop his head off, it's not going to be a nuisance. If your neighbor comes over and a very accommodating young lady wants to do him favors for a couple bucks, your bar can be shut down. But if you dissolve him alive in a vat of acid on the dance floor, not a nuisance. Florida, thank you. You've yet again blown all of our minds.
Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Follow me on Twitter at FloridaStoriesJ. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. Chilling every
damn night. All right, it's 26 past the hour. 26 past the hour. I hope that Bailey Martin of Channel 7 in the Ohio Valley, anchor person, and online streaming savant. She had to call AAA. She's driving back from some award ceremony. One, I hope she got an award. Two, I hope AAA has finally shown up. My experience with AAA is that it's very random. Once the person does show up with their AAA truck, every time, they've been terrific. I've never had a bad experience once they've arrived. I've had endless bad experiences with AAA with the dispatch. The important thing I've learned with AAA is to make sure the dispatch is actually geographically my dispatch, because they're centrally located near you. But if you call like the 800 number or the 888 number, whatever it is, you're going to get to like one for the Northeast, the Midwest, the Pacific Coast, thousands of miles. And they don't actually understand where you are. It is critical to say, I want the dispatch near me. This is where I am. Connect me to that dispatch. And then it usually works okay. But if I'm hitting a dispatcher for AAA that's a quarter of the country, it's not going to go well. It'll be many, many hours before they show up. Never less than an hour. If I'm not very clear about where I am and I expect a dispatcher that's near me, then it usually goes okay. I also have found with AAA, it's wise to have another towing service. What I came to learn is that almost every car dealer that I've ever bought a car from has hooked me up with a towing service. It's part of what they give you when they sell you a car. But they're lousy at explaining or telling it, or I'm lousy at asking about it or being reminded of it. It's one of the great challenges. One of the things I don't like about AAA, have you had this? Let's say it expired, and then you need them. And you get them on the phone. They say, well, you're not a member. Well, I'd like to be a member. Okay. It turns out that the I'd like to be a member, and you get that membership right now, it isn't going to help you with a tow right now. They're going to charge you retail for a tow right now. It has to usually be in for like a week or a month before your AAA membership will be active enough to send somebody out right now. That's been my AAA experience. It's always stressful. It's supposed to make my life easier. It's never made my life easier. And you only get two tows in a year. Depends where you are or whatever, but they change the rules all the time. I only get two tows a year. And because of the age of my cars and my refusal to take care of the cars, it never seems to work out that way. But this is Autism Awareness Month. And I have an angel who has autism. As I mentioned, it's not a disease. There's no beginning, middle, and end. It is a syndrome, a condition that kids are born with. And it's for their whole life. And that means that they need extra love their whole life. Sterling every damn Sunday.
The deal of a lifetime. According to realtor Tamia Carter, you could own a strip club in the wonderful city of Detroit. The pictures online are awesome. This is a beautiful place. It comes with a liquor license and a parking lot. Win-win in beautiful Detroit. The price? Reasonable. $1.1 million or best offer. There is no word in the listing whether this wonderful strip club comes with, well, shall we say, a silent partner from the Detroit Partnership. If you don't know what the Detroit Partnership is, it is the mafia of Detroit. They don't have a name like Bonanno or Del Vacante or something cool like that, Gambino. No, no, no. They call themselves a business name, the Detroit Partnership. But they are up to the same type of shenanigans that every mob organization is up to. That's according to the FBI, and I've learned you better believe them. This exotic dancing emporium has several stages. It has several dancing bowls. It's awesome. And being an entrepreneur in 2025 in Donald Trump's America is the way to go. Now, my guess is because it's in the city of Detroit, you're looking for some gals that can jiggle. And jiggle their caboose they will. You want some twerking gals. Twerking. Imagine the NBA players, the players from the NFL, even hockey players and baseball players hanging out with you. And you can call this club whatever you want. Maybe the Detroit Partnership. From the Champagne Room, it's Strippers on the Loose. I'm Vila Hool. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night. Study books, rusty books. Get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, Flight of the Dragon Queen. We entered a room at the top of the stairs. When I spotted the dresser, wardrobe, and large canopy bed, it became obvious I stood in her private chambers, and my face heated. She let go of my sweaty hand and crossed the room to fling open a pair of wide slatted doors. This way. I joined her on a secluded balcony. Beyond the marble railing lay a majestic landscape, a flawless scene which caused my jaw to drop in awe. Snow-capped peaks jutted from dense forests, stretching an infinite distance away from us. A waterfall cascaded from the tallest one, crashing over protruding rocks to feed the curving river winding through the trees. The giant sphere of the full moon cast its light over everything I saw, and the mountaintops extended into a vast expanse of glittering stars. Amazing, I murmured. Alizira stood at the edge of the balcony. I moved behind her, yet she stared so intently out at the exquisite scenery. I feared touching her in case I startled her. This, all this is yours? She nodded. As far as the eye can see. I now know why you spoke of your home with such fondness. It's... nothing I say would do it justice. Her gaze remained focused on the rolling hills. You asked me why I didn't tell you more about myself before today, she said, her back still to me. And I'm not certain I have a satisfying answer for you. I reached for her shoulder, but drew back before making contact. I'm sure you had your reasons. A sigh left her lips. It seems no matter where I am, everyone looks at me and sees only one thing. Here, I may be the queen, but I feel like I'm regarded as little more than the title, nothing beyond the role of leader and protector. Down in the valley, Samson and his ilk alternate between fearing me and hating me, based on what I am instead of who I am. She glanced back at me. But with you, I saw an opportunity. I thought maybe, for once, I could be myself without any labels or preconceived notions. Closing the gap between us, I stood beside her and placed one hand at the small of her back. Your castle, your kingdom, being part dragon, it's all a lot to take in. I circled my arm around her waist, my palm gliding across the rich velvet. But, queen or not, dragon or not, I see a strong, brave, compassionate woman for whom I'd have risked anything. That's what's most important to me. And my view of you hasn't changed. Alizira turned toward me, placing her hands on my chest. You're not upset? No. Why would I be? With one finger, I tilted her chin upward to meet my gaze, the moonlight reflected in her emerald eyes. Regardless, if this is all part of who you are, then I look forward to everything you're willing to share with me. Her eyes closed as I leaned down. I brushed my lips across hers with the faintest of touches, afraid if I pushed too far, she'd be summoned away again. No one appeared to interrupt us, and the gentle gesture paved the way for a more zealous kiss. She slid her palms over my shoulders, locking her fingers behind me, and her lips parted to welcome me inside. The sweet taste of honeyed wine on her tongue drove me wild with desire. I tightened my grasp on her waist, pressing her body to mine. As I explored her luscious mouth, I threaded my free hand through her thick curls. When I grazed the bare skin at the base of her neck, she shuddered. Stay with me tonight, she purred against me in between kisses. I want to be with you. My heart thudded until I thought it might explode. I couldn't believe what I'd heard. Are you sure? We haven't known each other very long, and I don't want you to think I know all I need to know about you. Her fists knotted in the collar of my shirt, and her hips rolled toward me. And when I shivered in the corner of my cold, terrible cell, thoughts of you kept me warm. I imagined what it would be like to be safe in your arms, to feel your body touching mine. She traced the edge of the shirt, her fingertips leaving a blazing trail across my skin. And I wondered if you thought the same things about me. Her words aroused all sorts of provocative memories. I did. Believe me, I did. I took her hand and kissed the top of it. I suppose it's in poor taste to refuse a queen's invitation in her own castle. Alizira tossed her head back and laughed, a wide grin spreading over her face. Let's go inside. The view from the balcony will be even more spectacular at sunrise. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and you're listening to an excerpt from my book, Flight of the Dragon Queen, which is available at Amazon. If you'd like to hear some uncensored excerpts or get early access to new books and stories, you can go to patreon.com/Thea Landon. And don't forget, you can always reach out to me at smuttythea@gmail.com. Now, let's find out what happens next. A jumble of feelings, from disbelief to red-hot lust, clouded my mind as I followed her back through the doors. Inside her chambers, she used an iron rod to stoke the embers inside a fireplace. Once she had rekindled the flames, she walked the perimeter of the room, extinguishing all the lamps hanging from the walls. When the last of the light came from the dancing fire, she stood in front of it and beckoned to me. I walked slowly, taking in the sight of her exaggerated hourglass figure silhouetted against the orange blaze. Alizira reached for the bottom of my shirt and gave it a yank. Grateful the darkness camouflaged some of my nervous blushing, I pulled off the lightweight garment and let it flutter away. Before it hit the floor, she swanned back into my arms and guided me down for another kiss. The heat emanating from the hearth mingled with the fervor building between us. As her chest flattened against me, the plush fabric of her dress rubbed across bare skin, teasing me with what lay beneath. Without relinquishing control of her lips, I skimmed my palms over the swell of her hips, drawing them up her sides and to the front of her body. Pliant flesh bulged over the top of her snug bodice, begging for attention. I cupped her chest through the thick velvet, and a soft moan escaped from her mouth into mine. She steered me toward the ties holding her bodice in place. I unfastened the knot, and the weight of her chest helped me loosen the laces. Dipping my hands inside the opened flaps, I slid the gown off her shoulders. She pulled away to slip her arms out of the sleeves, and the dress cascaded off her body. Carefully, she stepped out of the burgundy puddle, removing her embroidered slippers as she did so. The roaring blaze in the fireplace bathed her in an ethereal glow, exposing every inch of her to me. She incited a hunger in me I'd never felt before, and the warm flames made it difficult to swallow. You have to know what you do to every man who looks at you. I'm surprised any work ever gets done around here. I don't care about the other men. Alazira left her discarded clothing behind and crossed the room to the bed. Folding down the heavy quilt, she sat, leaning back on one hand. I care about you. And I love the way you look at me. She swung her legs up to the mattress, and her hair tumbled over one shoulder. Without taking my eyes off her, I knelt to unlace my boots. Once I removed them, I straightened and reached for the top button of my pants. Her chest heaved with quickening breaths, her intense gaze tracking every move I made. I unfastened the closures of the last article of clothing and added the pants to the pile on the floor. I stood in front of the fireplace, bared to her as she had appeared to me moments ago. She lay back against the pillows and extended her arm toward me. Oh, I think I'd better stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Flight of the Dragon Queen, which is available at Amazon. If you'd like to hear some uncensored excerpts and get a sneak peek at upcoming books and stories, you can go to patreon.com/TheaLandon. And don't forget, you can always email me at smuttythea@gmail.com. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling every damn night.
Your heart!
Walmart!
Sterling Shops! Walmart! Sterling Shops!
Walmart, your average store has great specials. In fact, one going on right now for chocolatey honey bunches of oats. They're delicious. For under $5 in your neighborhood, Walmart right now. But Walmart is so much more than that. They actually now have restored and used items, including fashion handbags. And a pre-owned Hermes handbag, Birkin 25B stamp Togo Black, ladies. It's in great shape, or they say good, but it should be great because the cost is over $38,000. Yes, at Walmart.com. A pre-owned Birkin handbag for $11,160. They only have one left. Better jump in and get that right now. Of course, they have wonderful restored cell phones, TVs, computers, all trusted by Walmart, and they all come with pretty good warranties. You can save a lot of money on your next cell phone when you go to Walmart. Some of them are unlocked, so you can take it to the cell phone provider of your choice, and you will have saved hundreds of dollars. Hundreds. That's what makes Walmart so great. When you go into Walmart, you expect high fashion. You also expect great value.